about what it feels to lose things. I realize how much we have all been experiencing loss in our lives lately. Loss is one of those inevitable facts of life. In his words of wisdom, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes that there is a time for everything under heaven, that there's for everything there is a season. And among those times, there's a time to seek and a time to lose. Loss is a season of life. And as I said, it's a season we've all been experiencing quite a lot lately. These past 2 years, with the pandemic, with the struggles that we've all been going through, loss has been really a regular part of our daily experience as we all kind of struggle through and figure out, what does it look like now? Maybe it was the loss of the plans that you had, short-term and long-term. Maybe it's the loss of a job. So many were out of work and continue to be out of work very much because of the struggles with this pandemic and the ripple effect that it's caused throughout our society, throughout our lives. Maybe it's the loss of an opportunity. You thought this was going to happen, and then here this comes and interrupts, subverts the plans. Maybe it is a loss of exactly those things, plans, a loss of direction. For many, I know the experience has been the loss of social interaction, the loss of exactly what we were talking about this morning, which is the loss of community. One of the things that the early church thrived on and valued above all things was being able to be together, to see one another, to experience life, worship, meals, all of these things together. And that has been severely lacking in our life, in our world as a whole. It's led to a loss of hope. It's led in a lot of ways to a loss of joy. There are record numbers of people who are going to seek counseling for depression, who are struggling with drug or alcohol addiction, who are struggling with all these things in life because life is beating us down into this point. Many are struggling with the loss of self. And maybe even harder, the loss of loved ones, of friends, or of family. Whether emotional or physical, we have all been affected by loss during these last couple of years, and unfortunately throughout our lives. And we will continue to be affected by loss. And I don't mean to be grim or dire, but to say that loss is a fact and a season of life. And it isn't a new fact that came about in the last 2 years. And it's not a season that only happens once or twice. It was enough that Solomon put it in that there's a time for everything under heaven, and one of the times is loss. Does that mean there aren't good times? No, of course not. There's joy, there's gladness, there's also weeping and sorrow. There's mourning, but there's dancing. There's embracing and there's refraining from embracing. These seasons of life are the regular rhythms that we must experience. And so the question is not, when will there be a season of loss? Will there be at all? The question is, how will I cope with that season? How will you cope when that season comes? Maybe you're experiencing that season right now. Maybe today you're hearing these words and saying, that's exactly what I'm experiencing. How do we deal with it? How do we cope with it? You see, Solomon, he dwells on the loss again and again. He comes to the same conclusion to say that it is simply a fact of life. It is something that we will see, that will happen to each person. Jesus, on the other hand, shows us how to deal with it. He demonstrates it. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says that we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now you may say that loss is not a temptation. Loss isn't a sin. And it's not. But like anger, there's healthy and unhealthy expressions of it. Like so many of our emotions, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Like so many of our emotions, there are healthy expressions of our emotions and there are unhealthy expressions. And if we walk too far down the unhealthy expressions, it leads us into this place of temptation, into sin. The Bible is clear to say that Jesus, in every respect, experienced all of the things that we have experienced, yet did it without sin. And because of that, there is grace for us. There is mercy for us. There is someone who can sympathize and empathize with us, a great high priest who sees us, who knows us, who calls us to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. He doesn't want to stand afar. He wasn't content with staying up high and being away and calling us higher and higher and higher. Yes, he wants us to grow. He wants us to strive. He wants us to seek him. But he also understood that we are weak sometimes and we struggle and we hurt and we suffer. And he came down to join and to show us the right way, the healthy way to express our emotions, the healthy way to express loss. Like us, Jesus experienced much loss during his time on earth. Experienced the loss of his friends. Experienced the loss of loved ones. Even the loss of his own life. He experienced all that we have, and so then is able to offer help in this, looking at how Jesus responded, how Jesus dealt with these things, should give us a picture into how we are called to deal with these things. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to look at some specific examples of loss that Jesus dealt with in his life and look at how he responds. Perhaps one of the most well-known examples, we'll start with this one, is found in John chapter 11. You may know it before I even turn there, but John chapter 11 is all about the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. The story goes that Jesus is with the disciples and word reaches him that the one he loves, a very close friend, a very dear friend, the one he loves is sick. Jesus hears about this and yet delays going to him. Eventually, Lazarus dies, and then Jesus comes. He comes and he interacts with the people. We get this sort of biopic view into some of those interactions with Mary and with Martha. He talks to them. He speaks to them. He loves them and encourages them. And yet still, Jesus is troubled and moved. And this whole chapter sort of centers around and contains one of the most famous verses in Scripture, the shortest verse in Scripture, it happens. That Jesus wept. I think that's an important moment not to miss. It says, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, and he saw all that had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of different study that's been done as to why Jesus wept. What was it that he was weeping about? And I'm sure there are lots of good things that can be discovered and thought about through there. But I think one of the reasons is that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. And therefore he was subject to that same emotional expression that we all are. Loss is sad, and Jesus wept. Loss is difficult, and Jesus wept. Loss doesn't make sense, and Jesus is greatly troubled and greatly moved, and he weeps. Wouldn't you? See, Jesus didn't ignore his feelings. He didn't pretend that they didn't exist. Instead, he expressed them. He expressed them honestly and fully. Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible, and yet it is the verse that shows the full impact of who Jesus is. He is one who is troubled because we are troubled, who is moved because we are moved, one who is not afraid to demonstrate the expression that he's feeling, the emotion that he's feeling in a healthy way in his heart. Sadness at loss is a healthy expression of the hurt. It is. As long as it does not begin to dominate your life, as long as it is not all-consuming, sadness, crying, are healthy expressions of the hurt. Along with the sadness and physical crying, Jesus, when faced with the reality of the trials that he was going to face, faced with the reality of his own death, faced with the reality of the separation from his Father on the cross, Jesus did another type of crying, but this time not crying tears, crying out to God. In Luke chapter 22, the Scripture records again this vignette, this moment where we get to look into Jesus' life and see him not only as the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Word in flesh, the light of the world, but as a person who experiences the same kind of things that we do. In verse 39 in chapter 22 of the book of Luke, it says, "He came out and went, as his custom, was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation." That's going to be very important next time. But for today, I want to focus on Jesus. It says he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and he, being in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. He rose from prayer and he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you do not enter into temptation." I want you to notice in this picture, into Jesus' struggle, into Jesus' hurt, into Jesus' pain, the phrase "being in agony." Being in agony. There is no other way to read that word. Agony is an intense pain. And it was not a pain that any had inflicted on him. Do you notice that there is no other place after that, during any of his trial, any of his experience, any of the things that he suffered, that it says he was in agony? This isn't physical agony. This is an internal breaking, an internal hurting, an internal struggle that's going on really in his heart and his life right then, at that moment, in such anguish, even with the angel there strengthening, he prays more earnestly, being in agony. Notice where he is driven. Notice where the agony drives him. Notice where the pain drives him. It drives him to do two things: to cry out to God and to pray more earnestly. Jesus is real with the Father. He cries out. He expresses his feelings. He expresses his fear. He expresses his hurt. He expresses his desire that, why can't it be different? Can it be, God? Can it be different? How many times have you been there? Have I been there? We've said, "God, can it be different? Why does it have to be this way? Is there any other way?" Jesus is not afraid to tell God how he feels. He's not afraid to tell God and to be real with him. This is a true form of expression that we see throughout Scripture. It's called a lament. And a lament is a healthy expression of pain, loss, hurt, unsureness, an inability to understand why these things are happening. I want to read you a lament from the Psalms. There's a very short one by David. And I want you to hear the words, and I want you to hear the expression in David's heart. Psalm 6, he says, "Lord, please don't rebuke me in your anger. Please don't discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. How long, O Lord? How long? Turn, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. In death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who is going to praise you? But I am weary, Lord, with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears, and I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Do you hear? Do you hear the expression of David? You can hear the similarity to what Jesus cries out. This real trouble, this real hurt, this real uncertainty of why, God, why, how long must I suffer in this? And he is not, David, like Jesus, is not afraid to tell God, this is how I'm feeling. Again and again, there's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to crying out to the Lord and sharing the hurt and the pain and the why and the confusion and the uncertainty. God is a big boy. He can handle it. God can handle your crying out to Him. He can handle you telling Him how you feel. That's what a relationship is. A relationship is the ability to be real with someone else. It's the ability to share with someone else what's really happening in your heart, where you are really struggling and being honest with them. And when you share it, to know that that other person can handle it. That other person can hear you. And do you know what happens? Do you see what happens as David prays, as Jesus prays, as they pray, as they write it, as they cry out to God? God transforms that prayer, transforms that hurting and that crying in to praise, turns it in to glory, into joy. It doesn't say it turns it in to good answers and everything is perfect. See, the prayer, the struggle and the anguish is internal. And likewise, the healing is internal. It may or may not lead to an external thing, but it's internal that God is working, God is moving, God is healing our hearts and our souls and our lives. Healthy expressions of loss are critical for us to be able to deal with things in not only a biblical, spiritual way. Trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior does not mean that you won't experience loss. It's a guarantee you will experience loss. Trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior does not mean that you have to put on a happy face all the time and everything has to be just, okay, here we go, God's got it, I'm okay. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to be uncertain, to be worried. It's okay. What I never see is Jesus holding it in. What I never see is Jesus ignoring it and pretending it doesn't exist. I see Him expressing it real, honest, true, putting it before His Father in heaven. That's exactly what we should do. When we're in that place, when we're in that place of deep loss, when we're in that place of hurt, don't be afraid to cry out to God. Go to Him. That's what He wants. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to read the Bible. He doesn't want you. He does, but that's not it. He doesn't want you to just put on a worship track and listen to it. He wants you to cry out to Him. Be real with Him. Let Him in. Because the further you let God into your heart and life, the greater the amount of work He will do. Give that space to Him. Let Him in. You will not be disappointed.